VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
God willing, we will have some time to open the phone lines later this hour, as there is so much to get to here today, as there often is. Glad to have you with us. In for Jim Schneider, I am Dalton Windsor, and our thanks to Sandy, who has been compiling stories and helping us to just be prepared to share with you much that is before us. Ladies and gentlemen, just earlier today, the Dow Industrial Average dropped more than 700 points, and the report is inflation is now at a 40-year high here in America. To our south, the southern border crisis continues and is, frankly, it's out of control. We have record-setting fuel prices, as the national average has now climbed, according to reports, has now climbed over $5 a gallon. Just this week, U.S. Supreme Court justices' lives have been threatened. All of that as a result of a pending decision on a possible revocation of Roe versus Wade here in America. But despite all of that, regardless of the heaviness that comes with those things that we just mentioned, instead, today America awakes to the reports of last night's primetime coverage. We're talking ABC, NBC, CBS, and others, bringing you so-called January 6th hearings. And it is not taking many people very long to see through what is really being presented here. Hearings opened last night, these January 6th hearings, investigating the 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol, the first of six that lawmakers hope, six different hearings that these lawmakers will hope will reveal what the committee has learned over the past 11 months about how the Capitol was breached and about former President Donald Trump's role in the events that led to, all that we know about and that they're telling us about, what many are calling the insurrection. And what many are saying, hold on just a moment. Many, in fact, saying this is all the big lie. Or quite possibly someone is reported to have said this is actually Trump's third impeachment. Democratic Representative Benny Thompson, the chairman of the House committee, opened the night. And Republican Representative Liz Cheney, the committee's vice chair, took the spotlight in her opening remarks. Now, some of the takeaways that have been spotlighted, Cheney revealed that President Trump had a, quote, sophisticated seven-part plan to overturn the presidential election. Yeah, we're still talking about that. And she went on to say that future hearings would feature testimony from the Trump cabinet members, so stay tuned for that. And then also, Cheney revealed new details about the White House's response to the riot. All of these proceedings, we are told, are necessary. But we're not hearing everything from last night or yesterday. Before the hearing began, Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, she prefaced it all with some of the things that we have not been told, that we are not being told, and will not be told. This is, again, Representative from Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and some of her comments from yesterday.
Scott, and I really appreciate you bringing up these very important details that I highly doubt we will hear anything about from the January 6th committee. You know, there's some very interesting facts that came out today, as a matter of fact, reporting on the failure of this chamber, this Capitol, to be secured. And I want to tell you something. On January 6th, I was a brand new member of Congress. And I want you to know,
How many days had you been here, Representative Greene?
January 3rd was my first day on the job.
So you've been here 3 days.
That's right, three days.
All right.
And I looked at the Capitol and thought this was the most secure building that I could possibly be in at least in this city, possibly in the country, because it's our nation's capital. And tragically, we found out it was not. And I was shocked by that. What amazes me is the overwhelming amount of evidence that the National Guard was requested to be here, and it was continuously turned down. And the biggest shocker to me is that there's three people that turned it down. It was Chuck Schumer in the Senate, Nancy Pelosi in the House, and Mayor Muriel Bowser.
If I could interject for just a moment, who's in charge of security here in the House of Representatives?
The Sergeant-at-Arms, and that would be Nancy Pelosi.
The Speaker.
The Speaker of the House is the one in charge of the House Sergeant-at-Arms. And the House Sergeant-at-Arms and the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms turned down the request for the National Guard to keep all of us safe from the threats that they knew existed.
Are we going to find out if they got ordered to do that by the Speaker or by the leader in the Senate?
We're
going to find that out tonight?
No, we will not hear that from the January 6th committee that has spent millions of taxpayer dollars supposedly investigating January 6th. I doubt, highly doubt we will hear that. But I want you to know that when we take back majority, these will be the investigations that we take on. Now, I want you to know some other things that really bother me as we've spoken about the failure and absolutely purposeful refusal to protect this Capitol by Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, Chuck Schumer, and Mayor Muriel Bowser. These are the failures. They did it on purpose. There's other things I don't think we'll hear about tonight, and I want to remind everyone. Number one, we still do not know who the pipe bomber is. Who is the person? There are videos everywhere. It's all over the FBI website. But we don't hear that coming out consistently from the January 6th committee. You know what else we don't hear enough about? We do not understand what is happening to the over 800 people who have been arrested and charged for the events on January 6th. We don't know what is happening to them, and there are dozens of them right here in this city wasting away in the D.C. jail, being treated like political prisoners of war. And you know what? This is before they have been convicted of anything. They are there pre-trial, and no one cares about them. No one on this January 6th committee dares to ask a question, what is happening to these people and why their due process rights are being so flagrantly and horrifically violated. Pre-trial, they are sitting in that jail. Do you know they have begged to go to Guantanamo Bay because they think terrorists are treated better than they are treated there? But no one cares about them. These people have been arrested and charged, and they're wasting in jail. You want to know something else that we're probably not going to hear about? What about the fact that there's a man named Ray Epps? Do you know who's not in the D.C. jail? Ray Epps. Ray Epps is not in the D.C. jail. And I know because I went in the D.C. jail. I did not see him there. He also is on video over and over again telling people to go in the Capitol.
Well, I'm sure we'll hear about Ray Epps this evening.
I don't think we're going to hear about Ray Epps. I don't think so. I don't think he's on the witness list. You know who else we probably won't hear about? The man on the scaffolding, the so-called scaffolding commander that told the crowd, told them, sent them, gave them orders to go in the Capitol, storm the Capitol. I haven't heard about him being questioned. Have you?
No, I have not.
No. You want to know something else? Here's a woman we don't hear anything about, a woman named Roseanne Boylan, that was trampled in the tunnel, trampled to death. We never hear anything about this woman. She died in the tunnel of this Capitol, and I saw the video myself when I was in the D.C. jail from one of the people being held there, pre-trial, by the way, of her body being dragged across the floor, and then it was taken somewhere else. Do you know what happened when they were dragging her body away? They pulled her away from someone that was giving her CPR. She was pulled away from life-saving CPR. Why did that happen? Are we going to hear about that from the committee tonight? I doubt it. They don't care about Roseanne Boylan. Here's my major issue. We are representatives of the people of the United States of America, and all I hear from everyone in this body is all they care about is themselves. The American people are suffering from so many things happening from the decisions of this body. But the people in this body and the people on that committee don't care about Roseanne Boylan from Georgia, by the way. They don't care about her family. They don't care about justice for them. They don't care about anything else but, oh, what happened to us on January 6th? Well, what happened to the American cities in 2020 that were burned and looted and destroyed because of BLM violence? Nothing. All that money raised on ActBlue for BLM, it went in their pockets. No one paid to rebuild those communities. Not at all. You know what else we probably won't hear about? It's Michael Byrd, who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt right out there. We don't hear about his reckless record of guns, which is all we talked about all weekend here. We aren't hearing about that. Why aren't we hearing about that record? Why? Why is it he standing trial? He's not. He just gets to get away with it. Did you know, and it's on video, I bet you we won't see this video, but I've seen it and it's out there. Did you know Ashley Babbitt was trying to stop people from breaking in? That is on video. I've watched it over and over. She was trying to stop people from breaking in, and then she was shot and killed. Yes, a lot happened on January 6th, and here's my question. You know what else? And the American taxpayers pay for this. There's surveillance cameras all over this building. If we really want to know the truth about January 6th, it's real easy. All we have to do is release the video footage, and everyone can see for themselves what exactly happened. And I think the American people deserve that. While they have to watch and go through this big cinematic production tonight and carrying on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and the American people pay for it, by the way, the American people deserve to see all the video surveillance, not just the little cut and pasted pieces that the January 6th committee is going to show tonight. And most of all, I want to finish with this. There is something terrible happening in this process, and it's called defamation of character. The president, the 45th president of the United States, character is being defamed, and all of his staff and his family and all Republicans, everyone's reputation is being defamed as lies are being told about all of us and President Trump just for politics. And it makes me sick. It absolutely disgusts me. If we're supposed to represent the American people and we're supposed to do a good job and uphold this place with honor and keep its reputation good for the people we serve, then we should be truthful. But what's about to happen tonight is not going to be truthful. It's going to be a political narrative, and it's all for politics, and it is sickening. And with that, I'll yield back my time.
That is Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene as she spoke yesterday before the beginning of the last night's January 6th hearings. The first, we already reported, the first of several that are being planned for the American people, and shown in prime time on all of the big ones, as they say, ABC, CBS, NBC, and others. Now, Donald Trump, former President Trump, has also commented about yesterday's, last night's proceedings. We will share that when we continue here on this Friday news roundup and comments. Stay with us.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, as a scientist, is it legitimate to use Scripture in your creation teaching?
Yes, indeed, Chris. In fact, I think it's illegitimate not to. There are times, of course, when a scientific answer is needed. In some of our creation evolution debates on university campuses, we try to limit the arguments to the scientific evidences only. But we never try to hide the fact that we're Bible-believing Christians and are coming at this from a biblical perspective. There is no intent to deceive. Often people who attend these debates have their eyes open to the truth of creation and then are more ready to accept a later witness from Scripture. But keep in mind that Scripture is alive and powerful and able to do mighty things. If we would truly win the argument, we must go back to Genesis without apology as our basis for creation.
For more on the importance of creation, Visit our website at icr.org.
This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. And with so much to get to here, we just want to go back just to take a few steps back here again. We were just hearing from Marjorie Taylor Greene as she spoke yesterday on Capitol Hill, she being the one of the representatives from the state of Georgia. And we commented that, well, Newsmax is reporting from yesterday that former President Donald Trump has commented mocking this House Select Committee that is investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th of 2021. And Donald Trump said the, quote, unselect committee didn't spend 1 minute studying the reason that people actually went to Washington, D.C. in massive numbers, far greater than the fake news media is willing to report or that the unselects are willing to even mention. Because January 6th was not simply a protest, it represented the greatest movement in the history of our country to make America great again. Now, that was the post made from Donald Trump yesterday on his Truth Social platform. He went on to say that it was about an election that was rigged and stolen. So much being said out there, and friends, you can rest assured that we will be hearing much more about what happened on January 6th. What happened January 6th of 2021, they will for sure see to that. And as we began this show today, we talked about the many other things that are affecting us here in America today, and not just America, but around the world, because the fact is, if it happens here in America, it is going to affect the entire world. We started by talking about inflation at its 40-year high now. The crisis at the southern border, just out this week, record-setting fuel prices as the national average now climbing to over $5 a gallon. And if we get some time, we'll unpack some of these stories in a little bit more depth later on. But a couple of things regarding just this story from January 6th, and then we will move on. Just the news reporting. Capitol Police compiled a secret after-action review months after the January 6th riots that identified sweeping blunders by the department, ranging from delayed deployment of specialized civil disturbance units to the fateful dismantling of an intelligence unit that monitored social media for threats. Identifying 53 areas of failure needing corrective action, the June 4th, 2021 report obtained by Just the News produces a far more stark portrait of leadership failure than those that are being offered by Democrat-led investigations. Specifically, the report stated that some Capitol Police leaders had received intelligence from outside sources like the FBI, warning of the strong potential for violence, including the targeting of lawmakers on the day Congress certified the 2020 election. But those warnings were not properly distilled into the operational plan. Speaker Pelosi served as the mayor of the U.S. Capitol, overseeing the sergeant-at-arms. And Trump had authorized the Pentagon on January 4th of 2021 to send up to 20,000 National Guard troops to prevent any violence. And guess what, friends? Congress turned down the request. I'm going to repeat that. It was authorized by Donald Trump at the Pentagon on January 4th, 2021, to send up to 20,000 National Guard troops to prevent violence, and Congress turned down the request. Former Police Chief Steve Sund, who resigned in the aftermath, said he repeatedly requested such troops and was turned down by leadership. So there is plenty that should be being talked about, sure, about January 6th. But will we get all of this story in prime time? I guess we shall see. Allow us to shift gears here, because there is much more to talk about than just January 6th. So much that I'm quite sure we will not get to be able to get to all of this. But let's talk about COVID for just a moment. Maybe you were with us yesterday and you got to hear audio that we shared from the Global COVID Summit that was held last month in May. Many hearing this for the first time a month later, and many just now hearing about these frontline doctors who got together with for a fourth declaration. Well, news that's just out today, early this morning, in fact, China is attacking the theory that the coronavirus pandemic may have originated as a leak from a Chinese laboratory as a politically motivated lie after the World Health Organization recommended in its strongest terms, yet that a deeper probe is needed into whether a lab accident may be to blame. Now, in a report yesterday, the World Health Organization's expert group said key pieces of data to explain how the pandemic began were still missing. The scientists said the group would remain open to any and all scientific evidence that becomes available in the future to allow for comprehensive testing of all reasonable hypotheses. Now, that's from Newsmax just yesterday on China attacking the theory that the pandemic began as a leak from a Chinese laboratory and as a politically motivated lie. Yesterday, we heard much about from these frontline doctors and what we still don't know. You talk about things we don't know about January 6th, about the things that we still don't know and need clarifying on about the virus and about these injections, what we're being told are these vaccines. And if you were not with us yesterday, I would hope that you would go back, visit crosstalkamerica.com and listen to that audio. You can download that, whatever the case may be. But over 17,000 doctors gathered. Well, they all put their name on this. They couldn't get them all together in one place at one time. But many of these doctors, all under the leadership of Dr. Robert Malone, this is what we shared yesterday. We're talking about the current status of emergency status and how these things, how this must end in our world today. They talked about so many different things. One thing we did not get to air was the closing comments from Dr. Malone. And we want to allow that, give just a few more minutes to this. This is from May 11th, last month, 2022. These are the closing comments from the Global COVID Summit Declaration 4 from Dr. Robert Malone. Let's listen together.
I'm to listen to myself and my colleagues today speaking to you from the heart about what we've observed and what we're recommending as the Global COVID Summit team of over 17,000 physicians and scientists from all over the world. We've been astounded and appalled at what we've observed over the last couple of years, and we have consistently spoken out. I hope that those of you who are skeptical about the medical profession and the integrity of the medical profession can recognize that we represent many, many physicians. We're fortunate to be in this position to speak to you and to represent the fundamentals of medical ethics as well as science. And we hope that you can see from our actions and our words that not all physicians are compromised. There is hope. The system can recover with your assistance and also with your support. We all ask that you help us demand change, demand accountability, demand integrity, demand respect, and try to rebuild our community. There is a way forward, and that requires absolutely that the people responsible for what we've experienced as a community over the last 2 years be held accountable. We must go through this process, and as Ryan was just saying, there's a number of discrete things that we can do to ensure that we recover from this and we stop this from happening again. Medical emergencies should not be used to justify suspension of the Bill of Rights. We are in a situation in which we still have the risk. There is still efforts ongoing to deny fundamental human rights, the U.S. Bill of Rights, freedom of speech for those that are seeking only to share scientific truth and engage in constructive scientific discussion and debate. There are efforts worldwide to censor us and to restrict information so that you are not able to have true informed consent because you are obstructed from getting the information you need to have true informed consent to receive any of these experimental products. They should not be mandated. That is an absolute breach of fundamental medical ethics. So, in closing, I thank you for your support. I hope that you share with us a sense of both alarm and a commitment to creating change and recognize that these medical products, these experimental medical products that have been mandated for all of us, are not providing protection against infection, replication, or spread from the Omicron virus. They're not working. They are mismatched from this virus. They are designed for the original Wuhan strain, and there is no reason why they should continue to be used, why people should continue to be forced, why people should be denied employment, why our children should be mandated for vaccination. There is no justification for this, and we ask for your support in trying to insist with us that we never have a situation like this again. I thank you for your time on behalf of myself and all 17,000 of us, and hope that we see a better future tomorrow.
That is comments from Dr. Robert Malone, last month's Global COVID Summit Declaration 4. If you'd like to hear that in its entirety, you could log on to rumble.com, and just simply search Global COVID Summit, Global COVID Summit Declaration 4, and it's a one-hour presentation loaded with information. Portions of that was aired on this program yesterday, which you could also hear again at crosstalkamerica.com. Along these same lines, CNS News reporting this week, attorney and former ambassador C. Boyden Gray held a press briefing on Wednesday to introduce a new lawsuit being filed against the FDA over its claims that ivermectin is an ineffective treatment for COVID-19. And the word is they will be suing the FDA over its unlawful attempts to interfere with the practice of medicine, specifically this crusade to halt the use of ivermectin to treat COVID-19. This lawsuit is very important to preserve medical freedom and the doctor-patient relationship in the United States. Friends, that is a big story that I'm sure we will be hoping to bring you more on as we move along. But that in itself is just more of those who believe that so much was done to keep good practices from getting to the people during the pandemic. Coming up, we're going to it's already break time here. We're going to shift gears again. Many are talking about the current status here in America and in our world, and saying that is judgment coming? Is judgment coming to America? Many would present the question, has it already come to America? Is what we're dealing with today symptoms of the judgment that is already upon us? Recently, Pastor John MacArthur shared some scripture from the Old Testament that we would like to share with you here today, just to help bring a divine perspective of why the news continues to weigh on us as it does. We're going to come right back with that. Stay with us when Crosstalk continues.
Do you take time daily to study the Word of God? Do you go through the Bible systematically and read with comprehension? Do you desire to learn more than what you have in the past? BCY America is offering a package set of 4 books by Ron Rhodes from Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries. These Bible study books provide a systematic approach to help you gain better understanding of the Bible. Included in this set is 90 Days Through the New Testament in Chronological Order, providing overviews, powerful insights, and personal application. 40 Days Through Genesis, discover the story that started it all. 40 Days Through Daniel, revealing God's plan for the future. and 40 Days Through Revelation, Uncovering the Mystery of the End Times. These four books are available as our way of saying thank you for your donation of $49 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. Don't let the lack of a Bible study plan keep you from daily devotions. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Here is Pastor John MacArthur sharing some divine perspective.
I want to take a little extra time in reading the scripture this morning because we have had so many questions about the shooting and what's going on in our country and all of the solutions that have been offered. I think we need to have a divine perspective on this time in our history. You can open your Bible to Isaiah 59. Obviously, the school shooting is horrific and monstrous and demonic. It is not new. It is not new in our country. It's not new in our world, and it's not new in human history. There is basically a diagnosis in Genesis 6:5 that fits most of human history, of course, that there was always evil continually. And that's what we are suffering, as have all fallen cultures since the sin of Adam. But I think that the uniqueness of our time is that we are experiencing judgment. And I want to say at the very beginning, the judgment was not on those children. The scripture is clear. Jesus said, "Permit the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." But Jesus was essentially saying that those little ones are gathered into glory. That is not a judgment on the children, but it is a part of a judgment on our nation. The children are in the presence of the Lord, and as such, they have been eternally redeemed from all evil. But how do we understand the judgment, of which that is a token in the big sense? So I want you to look at Isaiah 59. And here we have about the coming judgment of God on them for their disaffection from God, their apostasy, and their idolatry. And he describes the nation in language that will seem very, very familiar to you even today. Here is a society under judgment. And I'll make a few comments as to what it is that we're seeing here. We begin in chapter 59. "Behold, the hand of Yahweh is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." The first thing to understand when a nation is under judgment is there is no help from heaven. There is no help from heaven. The other day in his comments, the president, in a matter of 3 minutes, took the Lord's name in vain at least 7 times. There is no help from heaven in a time of judgment. It's not that the Lord can't, it's that the Lord won't. He doesn't hear because we have separated ourselves from him. Then verse 3 says, "For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken a lie. Your tongue mutters unrighteousness. No one calls in righteousness and no one seeks justice in truth. They trust in confusion and speak worthlessness." There's no help from sinners. No help from sinners. They are defiled, marked by iniquity, lies, unrighteousness, injustice, confusion, and worthlessness. No help from heaven. No help from sinners. No collection of sinners offers any help to a people under divine judgment. And then at the end of verse 4, we read this: "They conceive trouble and give birth to wickedness. They break open viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a snake breaks forth. Their webs will not become a garment, nor will they cover themselves with their works." This is to say there are no influencers who can help. There is no help from influencers. All they do is just open viper's eggs by which people are poisoned and spider's webs by which they are entrapped. No help from heaven, no help from sinners, no help from influencers. They just propagate more wickedness. No protection from violence. As you come down to the end of verse 6, their works are works of wickedness, and a deed of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They are quick to shed innocent blood. Think abortion. Their thoughts are thoughts of wickedness. Devastation and destruction are in their highways. No protection from violence. No protection from violence. Starting in verse 8, we notice something else. No help from counselors. They do not know the way of peace. There is no justice in their tracks. No help from courts. No help from laws. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace. No help from heaven. No help from sinners. No help from the influencers. No protection from violence, which means no help from authorities, no help from counselors, no help from laws or courts, because there's no justice. Verse 9, therefore justice is far from us. Righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in thick darkness. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. All of us growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. No hope for deliverance. No hope for rescue. No hope for salvation. It's all darkness, thick darkness, blindness, sightlessness, twilight, impotence, anger, melancholy, no salvation. And then in verse 12, we find more. There's no relief from guilt. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins answer against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and denying Yahweh and turning back from our God. Speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words. This is confessing guilt, but there's no relief from that guilt. Then we come to verse 14. Justice is turned back. Righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the street, and rightness cannot enter. No access to truth. No access to truth. So it is that truth is missing. And then at the end of verse 15, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself plunder. No respect for the righteous. No help from heaven. No help from sinners. No help from influencers. No help from authorities. No help from counselors, law courts. No help for deliverance. No relief from guilt. No access to truth. No respect for the righteous. And then Yahweh saw. Verse 15. Then Yahweh saw, and he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede, no help from leaders, no help from anyone. Then his own arm brought salvation to him. There's only one possible Savior. It's God himself. God bears his arm, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness like a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. According to what they deserve, so he will pay in full. Wrath to his adversaries, what is deserved to his enemies. to the coastlands or the nations. He will pay what they deserve. So they will fear the name of Yahweh from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, which is the east, for he will come like a rushing stream which the wind of Yahweh makes flee. It says he's going to bring salvation. That doesn't sound like salvation. Judgment comes first. Then verse 20. Yahweh says, a redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob. A redeemer will come. Isaiah chapter 60 begins with that wonderful reality. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and dense gloom the peoples, but Yahweh will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. What does that refer? To whom does that refer? Who is the Redeemer? How is it that the light has come? The next chapter of Isaiah, chapter 61. The Redeemer himself is introduced. The Spirit of Lord Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me, the Anointed One, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Savior, to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of Yahweh and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a headdress instead of ashes, the oil of rejoicing instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he may show forth his beautiful glory. This introduces us to the Redeemer, the Anointed One, who will bring good news to the afflicted, the brokenhearted, the captives, the prisoners, who will bring comfort and rejoicing and praise. And who is he? In the fourth chapter of Luke, starting at verse 14, we read this. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And he was teaching in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the scroll, and he found the place where it was written, what we just read in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. He declared himself to be the Redeemer, the Anointed One, the one who would preach the good news, free the captives, give sight to the blind, deliver the oppressed. He alone can save. There is no human agency, no human institution, no human laws or courts or authorities that can save. Only Christ can save.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, remember when anyone that brought up the topic of election fraud and voting machines was called a conspiracy theorist, or the media that said, oh, those have been debunked? Well, interesting enough, the Associated Press last week had an article, and here's what it read, quote, electronic voting machines from a leading vendor used in at least 16 states have software vulnerabilities. that leave them susceptible to hacking if unaddressed. The nation's leading cybersecurity agency says in an advisory sent to the state election officials, end quote. And what is the company? Dominion. It says the Dominion voting system. And who put this out? The government, the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Agency, the one that originally said the 2020 election was the safest in American history. Wow, how they have finally turned the tables and admitting what really happened. What will happen from here? Stay tuned. I'm Brandon House.
Crosstalk continues here on the VCY America Radio Network. Again, having just been listening to words from Pastor John MacArthur at Grace Church in Panorama City, California, words that were spoken just days after the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, back on, spoken Sunday morning, May the 29th. We thank you to Pastor and to the Grace Church for permission to re-air that today. And we can always find answers and guidance in the Word of God. Speaking of Uvalde, one of the headlines today, before we run out of time, the Uvalde school police chief, who has been facing blistering criticism over his response to the shooting, the school shooting, is now saying he never considered himself the incident commander on scene and that he did not give orders telling responding officers to stand down. This from Fox News. This very day, earlier this morning, Pete Arredondo, speaking alongside his lawyer to the Texas Tribune, is revealing for the first time what he says happened on May 24th in Uvalde, Texas. Not a single responding officer ever hesitated, even for a moment, to put themselves at risk to save the children. He says, we responded to the information that we had and had to adjust to whatever we faced. Our objective was to save as many lives as we could. And the extraction of the students from the classrooms by all that were involved saved over 500 of our Uvalde students and teachers before we gained access to the shooter and eliminated the threat. Arredondo said, I didn't issue any orders, noting that he called for assistance and asked for an extraction tool to open the door to the classroom where the shooter was inside. The New York Times reported that the group of U.S. Border Patrol agents who ultimately ended up killing the shooter, Ramos, were told through their earpieces at one point to not enter that classroom. But Arredondo's lawyer told the Texas Tribune that his client didn't say that. And if it was said, he isn't sure who did. Arredondo also said in the interview that he, without body armor, tried dozens of keys to try to get through the door separating police from the shooter. He described the door to the classroom as one having a steel jamb that is designed to keep attackers in the hallways from forcing themselves in. He reportedly said he wasn't aware of 9/11 calls coming from students and teachers inside the classrooms that were begging for help. And so that again just today on the Uvalde police chief. And that's his first statements following all that conspired there now in Texas. Oh, my. So much that we will not be able to get to today. One of the headlines that was so big of a headline this week, a California man armed with a weapon was arrested near Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's home after telling police that he wanted to kill the justice. That from the Supreme Court that was confirmed Wednesday morning. Also, pro-choice group called Ruth Sent Us hinted at targeting protests at the Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett after the attempted attack that was on Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Ruth Sent Us posted a call for demonstrations at Barrett's home and church, in response to speculation that she will concur with a previously leaked draft court opinion that would overturn Roe v. Wade. Friends, the headlines, they continue, the stories heartbreaking, and sometimes we just can't help but feel as we are sitting ducks with all that is before us. But friends, as we've already heard today, there is hope. We do still have hope. And with the closing minutes that we have today, we're going to allow Pastor John MacArthur from his message on May the 29th to close us in prayer.
And I hope at this time that the Church of Jesus Christ and its leaders wake up to the fact that what we have to call for is not solutions from the people under judgment who can offer nothing, but to call on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, to bring salvation to a people under judgment. He came to save. He will save all who call upon Him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we do know that there is no help from man. No individual, no collection. There is no help because judgment has fallen. Hearts are evil. Only evil continually. And the only hope for deliverance is salvation. And the only salvation is that which comes from your hand through the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you as we gather to worship you that we have been rescued, that we have been given that salvation, that we have been redeemed through the sacrifice of Christ in His death and resurrection. We thank you that you've reached down to give us life. You've called us to repentance and faith in Him. You've brought us to understand the gospel by the work of the Holy Spirit so that we repented and we believed and we have embraced Christ. We have passed from death to life. We will never experience judgment, for there is no judgment, no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Lord, I just pray that all of us would understand that there's only one message to preach to the world, and that is you will not escape divine judgment unless you're safe in Christ. May this be the message that we proclaim to a broken, hurting, grieving, disoriented world living in compound darkness and trying to find answers in all the wrong places. May the gospel shine brightly. May it be that even in the midst of judgment, you remember mercy, even for some here today, and for many for your eternal glory. And we ask it in the name of Christ.
Again, our thanks to Grace Church and them allowing us to share that today. Words spoken over the pulpit from Grace Church in Panorama City, California, back on Sunday morning, May the 29th, shortly after the terrible shooting there in Texas. There is still hope. Reminder that Sunday is coming, the Lord's Day. We trust you'll be in a local Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.